CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness. Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We're having we're putting Tom in for a little bit early this month because of your holidays. So we wanted to make sure we got Tom in, and then we'll re-air this on his regular time. You may all be off and enjoying your holidays, but we wanted to make sure we got this in. So I always love having Tom on the show. He's probably one of the gentlest and most informed people I know. I love having our discussions around relationship and consciousness. It's been, I realize that this is like our second year of we're going to be going into our third year, which is just so awesome having you on the show, Tom.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's my pleasure to be here. I always have fun.
You can find out more about Tom if you Google his name, Thomas Campbell, Tom Campbell, My Big Toe. You can go to YouTube. He's got hours and hours of video footage, and you can really get a lot of information. Plus, he has a trilogy of books, which is why they're called My Big Toe, which is why his website is mybigtoe.com, but there's hyphens in between, so my-big-toe. And, we've been discussing consciousness, and I loved last month's show about the afterlife. It really reminded me, and I was going to talk about it, but we run out of time because we can just, go on forever about all of this stuff. But it reminded me of a movie called Defending Your Life by Albert Brooks. I don't know if you saw that movie. It's an older movie. But it had it was great because basically it was the afterlife. It was Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. And Albert Brooks led a very fearful life. So all of the review was on all of the choices that he made out of fear. And Meryl Streep, of course, her review was all the time she faced her fear. And there wasn't that much that she had to review where Albert Brooks had to review a whole lot. I think it's just so cool. There was another cool bit, but I think it's so cool because it really is what we do. I mean, that's really what we have to do, is that we have to get our fears. The other thing I loved, of course, was that Shirley MacLaine was in charge of the past life pavilion, so that when people went to find out who their past lives were, everybody was introduced first to Shirley MacLaine, and of course everybody knew that she wasn't dead. So it was cute because that kind of fit in with what you were talking about, mm-hmm. how you get used if you go into in meditation and you connect in with the afterlife, you can be asked to do some things. So
that's right.
I thought it was a very cool movie. If you haven't mm-hmm. seen it, it's very interesting. It's very funny. But again, it's all about our fears. So what I wanted to bring up about that was one that, we have to look at our fears. That's really what we're here to do. And although there was a bit of a surprise when we were talking about the afterlife last month, just because I was getting confused between the non-physical and when we're in a virtual reality, which is, I don't know why I wasn't thinking that. But anyway, I think it's very cool that we have this review. Maybe not everybody reviews stuff because maybe not everybody is working, depending on where you are and what you've done. Which brings me to the past life part, because I think that's an interesting thing. Like we've all got past lives. That's part of this game. And learning the rules, what we talked about a few shows ago. Past lives, a lot of people have memories of past lives. I think past life regression is a very interesting tool. I think a lot of us get distracted by it and want to know everything in our past lives. And I think if that's the case, we could be there forever. But also, the point that I was going to try and bring up last month was, a lot of people say they were famous people. And I most of the past lives I've had, I've just connected in with things that were pretty normal. And I wonder sometimes if these people that say they were the famous people, are they, one, it could be just ego, but also, you know, two, is it, you know, maybe we're connecting in with the collective unconscious or the collective conscious where, you know, we can have access to all that information.
Okay, well, let's just talk about past lives in general, and we'll kind of start from the very beginning and end up with the very point that you were making. Past lives are our past experiences, okay? In this virtual reality, the way the game works is that we're here to grow up, and that takes a while. It's not something that we do quickly or immediately. Growing up means getting rid of fear, which is what you talked about first. And that takes a long time. So if you only had one shot at it and that was it, none of us would do very well because we just don't grow up that much in a lifetime. And the idea is that we are evolving, not just you get a one shot and then you're done, but that this is evolution. Evolution is never done. Evolution is an open-ended process of change, process of becoming. And we are part of this. We are part of the larger consciousness system strategy to evolve. So here we are doing our little bit, trying to lower our entropy, decrease our fear, and we do it lifetime after lifetime after lifetime because learning is cumulative. You can learn more after you can learn more after you've learned something. You know, when you haven't learned anything, you kind of are at a very slow pace, but the more you learn, the easier it is to learn more. So that's why it's a cumulative, iterative process, and it has to be that way. Learning is never just a one shot. It's not like you go to the third grade and you're done. You know, the third grade just prepares you for the fourth grade, which prepares you for the fifth grade, and so on. And if when you get out of your formal schooling and you stop learning, shame on you. That should just be preparing you for the rest of your life. And that learning ought to continue, and so it does from lifetime to lifetime. So that's why we have a succession of lives. Otherwise, our evolution wouldn't mean much. You know, evolution doesn't work in a one-shot kind of a deal. It has to work in a cumulative sense. So that's why we have these lives, and we have a database. There is a database in this system that I call the past database. And it keeps track, because this is a digital information system, it keeps track of all of what has happened, all of the history. And it's not just names and events and dates, it's everything. Every feeling, every emotion, every thought, everything that is you, that you express in your life here, gets saved, everything meaningful. If you decide to scratch your head with your right hand instead of your left hand, that probably doesn't get saved, because it's considered trivial, you know, it's not significant. So when I say everything, I don't mean every, you know, minute detail. I mean everything of any significance. And the system has its own way of guessing at significance. So that's where this past life is. It's in this database. Now, it's not your character. You go back and interact with you as a past life. You can interact with it just like you were interacting with a person. And you can ask questions, you can watch it do things, you can actually, you know, interact, change the environment such that it interacts because of your interaction. But all you're doing is interacting with the database. That past life character of you doesn't have free will. It's not continuing on, evolving, you know, doing the same thing in the same character. That's not the way it works. So when you go see Uncle Fred, who passed on some time ago, and you see him, basically what you're interacting with is his history database, not really with Uncle Fred. Uncle Fred's moved on. He's doing other thing. That character, Uncle Fred, is not is not still there, is not still playing that Uncle Fred.
Right.
Let's see. I got a noise here. Just a minute. Okay. So that's the way that works. You have a past life. That life is captured in a database, and you can go visit that database. And the database is not just, you know, one dimensional like writing and two dimensional like writing and pictures. It's everything. feelings. It has all the knowledge. You can ask Uncle Fred about that secret hiding place, or he may tell you about it, and you may go pry up that floorboard, and sure enough, it's there. So you say, wow, that really was Uncle Fred, because he gave me information that nobody knew except Uncle Fred. But that's just Uncle Fred's database. Everything Uncle Fred ever thought and felt is there, and you can interact with it, and you interact with it by probability. So anyway, that's the past life. So for one, it's not, the past life characters are not still part of the evolutionary game. You are part of the evolutionary game. You, in the present, have free will, and you can make free will choices. In the past, it's a database, and that database will react and interact with you according to the probabilities that define that character. So that's kind of the big picture. Now, do we need another break, or can I just ramble on?
Why don't we take a break so that you can ramble on clearer when we come back? You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tom Campbell. We're talking about, I guess we're going to talk about past lives in this one, so this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have any questions, maybe somebody has a question you'd like to join us with your question, you can call us at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the Soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
Ooh, Lordy, trouble so hard. So hard, don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now. 248-545-7685.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. I don't want to talk too much at this one because I want to really get into this. So you know what to do. Just Google his name. Everything's there. Thomas Campbell, my big toe. Check it out. All right. So we've been talking about past lives.
Yes, and I kind of got to the point where I had a kind of the background.
Yes.
What is it? Why do we have past lives, and what is it? It's just a database. And
no free
the next
will,
step
which
is
interesting. I think it does
not have. Yeah, those characters do not have free will, but you do because you are in the present. All the action takes place in the present. That's where the free will is. Free will is the free will to make choices in the present, and in the past, it's just history. It's just data. It's the way it was and all the probabilities of the way it might have been if had things been different. So it's that whole probable future database, which is everything that could happen and the probability that it would, goes through the present where the action and the free will is, and then flows into the past, which is everything that could possibly have happened and the probability that it might have, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And our history thread, what actually happened, is just a one line, one string of events through that probabilities of the past. So you see, there's a whole lot of data out there besides just what happened. There's also all the possibilities of what could have happened and the probabilities. So you can go through that past database and change things. Well, what if I hadn't forgotten my wife's birthday 3 years in a row? You know, would I, you know, be so lonely now, you know, that sort of thing. And you can go back and change that and see what difference it makes, play it out in the probability. So you see, there's some other things you can do with that database rather than just go look at past lives. You can do a lot of what-if analysis there to get some idea of the effect that your choices actually made. So that's kind of a neat thing that most people don't know about this database, is that there's a lot of other things you can do. You just have to have the intent of, you know, asking for, you know, what is the most probable reaction to this? And then you go in and interject that, and there you go. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing you can do with that database. Just a database, but you can explore it. And when you're exploring it, it's like being there. You're interacting. You see the action. You can smell the sweat. You know, you can, everything is there. It's just like you're there. And it's not like reading a book, because it's a whole lot more personal than that, because you're actually around, you've got all of it, the thoughts, the feelings, everything. All right, so now let's kind of work our way back up to the top of this pile and say, like, okay, so, you know, how does it work? So you get, you know, you either learn how to visit this past database, and you may use your intent to be on our history thread, which means you're in what actually did happen in this physical virtual reality. And now what? Okay, so you learn, or maybe you get someone else who has learned to help you do it or do it for you and tell you about it. Either way, what's really going on there? Well, there's several things that could go on. One, you or the person that's working for you might just touch into the database and relay to you the things that they see and feel. Of course, as any communication, what they see and feel is going to come in terms of their own metaphors, the way they see it in terms of their own metaphors. So that's just the way it is. We get data, and then we have to interpret that data, and we have to interpret it in terms of our own experience. So we have that to deal with. But there's another thing that we have to deal with that is most people also don't understand, and that is that intent may not necessarily, that intent to go back and kind of connect with that past life, that intent may be used to pass on to the person some information that they need that would be helpful to them. So when you do that, the larger consciousness system essentially might intercept that message, if you will, and say, oh, this is Susie Q, and she wants to talk to her grandmother about something or other. Well, Susie Q really needs some help here. There's some information that would help Susie Q out that would be important for her understanding, or would give her an ability to let go of a fear, or would maybe be useful for, to her. And the system may then create that information to pass along. So you're thinking, wait a minute, the system's cheating. You know, it's sending me stuff that isn't necessarily true, and it's posing as my Uncle Fred or these kinds of things. And, you know, I'm being manipulated here. Well, in a way, that's it. That's true. But in the bigger picture, that's not true. The whole point of this virtual reality is to learn, to grow up, and the system does what it can to give you the opportunities that you need to make the choices that help you grow up. It does that in lots of ways. It does that in dreams. Sometimes you're given a dream of a specific scenario, and you have to go interact with that. That's the larger consciousness system giving you a lesson, if you will, giving you an opportunity, an experience in which you could grow by making better choices. And if you're going to explore past lives, sometimes the system will give you information that is just, you know, it's just what you need or what will help you or what will give you a challenge. Okay, so... And it also, just like the person I said that might be doing this for you, if you go do this yourself, you also interpreting what makes sense to you. So if you don't know much history, if you don't really know a whole lot about, 500 BC or whatever, and that's where you are, then you're going to make up stuff based on what you do know. Because you can make up stuff based on what you don't know. You see, that's logically impossible. So you're going to, when I say make up, I mean you're going to interpret the data you get in terms of your own knowledge, your own fear, your own ego, your own love. All of those things that make you up is going to be a filter on what you get. So we are often, we come up with things because it's basically our limitation on the knowledge of how we interpret. So if the only thing you know of ancient Egypt is about Ra and, Isis and a couple of other things, and maybe just, you know, they made pyramids and just a few other facts, then when you interpret the data, you're going to interpret them in terms of those facts that you know.
Oh.
You're going to be some part of what's in your database. So now if you know a whole lot about history and you have a big picture of what went on there, now you have a whole, you know, you have a bigger basket of experience by which to interpret the data. So you don't really pay a lot of attention to the data, to the metaphors that come back. You have to learn to read between the lines. It's not that, you know, Uncle Fred, you know, did this or did that or said these things, or that you were on the throne of Egypt in such and such a time and everybody was bowing to you. It's not so much that as it is that, one, that's how you're interpreting what you see based on your own information, which is probably pretty small because we really don't know a whole lot about, 500 BC. And the other thing is it may just be the larger consciousness system feeding you a picture that's something that will do you some good. Let's say that you have problems with your sense of self and sense of worth, and esteem is a big issue with you. Well, you may then just see yourself as, the queen goddess of, all of reality or whatever. And that may be given to you as a way of saying, look, you see, you have been something. You are something.
How did you know that was my...
You need to stand up straight and stand tall. Look here. See, the system may just give that to you because that's what you need. That's helpful for you. Or it may be that's just basically all you know about it, and you were some kind of, important person, revered, and you don't really know how to put that into context, so you put it, in the only thing you know. So it could be any of those things. The actual reality is a lot more complex. It's not one-dimensional. It's not necessarily what you see is what you get. Read between the lines. Don't worry about the actual, picture, because you've interpreted that picture. That's your own metaphor. But what's the sense of it? What's the feel of it? What is the essence that's significant? What's the challenge of it? And find that in it, and then it'll be useful. If all you're doing is chasing details, like physical details, oh, you know, in my life I was 6.5 feet tall, weighed 400 pounds, and had a great big sword, and everybody was afraid of me. Oh, what color robe was I wearing? And look at those sandals. They seem, you know, if you're worried about the detail, you're missing the point. That's not important. None of that's important. It's not the detail of what happened. It's the sense, the feel, the energy, the connection to what happened. That's where you get it at the intuitive level, not at the intellectual level. And if we get wound up about it at the intellectual level with all the details and who and what and how and when and so on, we tend to miss the point. And there's really not a whole lot in there for us to learn. It's just kind of an entertainment. And if you waste yourself, you know, your time on entertainment, with past lives, then, you know, you might as well be meditating or reading a good book or doing something else. It's not going to turn out to be all that valuable for you because you're missing the point of what's actually there.
All right, well, it's time to take another break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We've got Thomas Campbell. We're talking about past lives. I'm loving this topic. I think it's very cool. Join us when we come back from break. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
New Sky Radio, newskyradio.com, and Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station, with a mission to improve the world one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family, an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
Save
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell. We've been talking about past lives. Google his name. Find out more information. There's lots of information out there. His website is mybigtoe.com with hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com, which is complimentary of the series of books that he wrote, trilogy of books called My Big Toe. So much information. So check it out. And let's go back to past lives. So I guess, you know, that's the big thing with past lives is that we kind of get caught up in the details. And we, you know, let's talk about what we were talking about in break, which is, you know, we get caught up in the details and we start playing out probabilities instead of what really happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two things that can kind of distract you in this in this process, distract you. But there's two major kind of technical problems here. And one of them is that you have to really be good at this in order to kind of know what you're doing and to be getting good information that's useful to you. And I say that in the sense that if you know, to do this, you just have to open yourself up. First, you need a clear intent. The intent needs to be clear of what it is you're doing, the kind of information you're asking for, the kind of connection you want. And if you have a clear mind with low noise and so on, and you have that clear intent, and then you just open yourself and let the data come, then you'll get good, accurate data. But where a lot of people go wrong in that process is that, one, their intent's not real clear, so they'll have an intent of, I want to go talk to Uncle Fred. Well, if you just want to talk to Uncle Fred, that's all of Uncle Fred, you know, what Uncle Fred actually did and all the things he could have did, but did, you know, could have done but didn't. All of those things are all part of Uncle Fred and Uncle Fred in the database, and if you don't specify that you only want that part that actually happened, in other words, you only want to collect data from the history thread, then you may get data from all sorts of things because you didn't specify exactly what you wanted. And you have to be clear with your intent. It needs to be precise. People who do this a lot, they learn just through practice and intuitively how to focus their intent and focus it clearly and get reasonable, you know, and get the answers that they want. They kind of learn it by trial and error, not because they actually understand, you know, the physics or the mechanics behind it, but because they've practiced it enough and they know what works and what doesn't. People who haven't done all of that work and haven't done a lot of practice and a lot of trial and error can easily end up in the, you know, not the history thread, but in the part of the historical database that didn't actually ever happen, but could have happened given other kinds of circumstances. And you, if you're not experienced, you can't tell the difference. One looks just like the other, except one of them happened and the other one, you know, didn't. Right. That's the main difference between them. And exactly why it didn't, you know, you could go explore, but so that's one thing. The database is very large and expansive, and there's lots of information there, and you're only looking for a very specific piece or trail of that information. And it's just like any database. You go to Google and put in something like love, you know, and you'll get 6 million replies, you know, 3 million of which you really don't want to look at, you know. That's the same thing. If you go in with a very general thing like Uncle Fred, you're going to get all sorts of stuff about Uncle Fred, some of which, you know, actually happened and much of which did not. There's a whole lot more that didn't happen than did, obviously. So the what happened is the smaller thread through the database. Now, the other thing is that if you can't just open your mind and receive the data, just be blank and let it flow into you, then what happens is that you start adding to the data. You start creating it because you kind of would like it to be like this or like that would suit you better or this and that. And you start letting your ego add to the data. And it takes a long time to learn to just open your mind and tell your own ego, your own intellect, to sit down and be quiet and listen. And most of us can't do that very well. we open our mind and our ego and our fear and everything just starts chattering at us all the time. So if you let any of that chatter come in, then that chatter will actually start building a picture on its own. So those are the two things. You have to have a good intent that's precise, and you have to be able to still your mind and not let any of your, you know, preconceived notions, any of your hopes and desires, you know, any of your expectations or anything else add to that data stream. You need to let the data stream just come to you. So those are two things that produce, you know, warped results, if you will. So sometimes because you were Queen of Sheba and, you know, Master of the Universe, that's because that feels good. And you may be, you know, you may have gotten something about that you were important, and now you say, oh, important, and it kind of builds up in your own mind. So that's one way. Or it could be, like I say, the larger conscious system may want to feed you that to make you feel more important, to help you with your self-esteem. Or who knows, maybe you were the Queen of Sheba, you know, so maybe that's just the real stuff. The point is, it doesn't really matter. What matters isn't the what happened and who was I. What matters is, of what value is it to you? What are you going to get from this? What are you going to learn? What's the takeaway here? What's the, what makes this worth doing? You know, and it's worth doing if it helps you grow, if it gives you some piece of information that actually helps you get rid of your fear, grow, evolve the quality of your consciousness. If it's not doing that, then there really is no value in it. You should do something else. So that's what's important, is what does it bring to you? What do you get from it? Not who was I and how important was I and, you know, the color of your robes and all the details and the time and you know, what was that? 500 BC, or is that 499 BC, you know, and that becomes a really important thing for you to find out. That's really not all that important, you see. That's
so writing
just in
a book,
the fuzz.
Writing a book about what really happened is probably not important.
It's probably not important, right. That's just not that important. It doesn't matter what really happened. Is what is it about what you're getting that's important for you? And that's what you should focus on. And if it's nothing, then you're wasting your time. So those are some things that can go wrong with the process. But indeed, the database is there. It is available. And you can do some very interesting things with it. So it is a tool to be used. But like all tools, if you get too enamored of the tool, you tend to not use it very effectively. You know, carpenters just don't sit around and gaze lovingly at their hammers, you know. That doesn't get them anywhere. You use the tool, but don't get too enamored of it. Don't get too, you know, if the tool becomes the center thing, then you're really, you know, not using your time wisely. The tool's just a tool, and you only use it when it's working for you, when it's actually helping you grow up. Otherwise, you should be doing something else.
So it's really about us, you know, evolve. Again, it all comes down to us growing up, which is letting go of our fears and trying to figure out what those fears are. It may assist us, right?
Exactly. And all of these things are tools. You know, like I say, your dreams are a tool. Right. Your, you know, just focusing. Meditation is a tool. These are all tools. None of them need, you know, should become the centerpiece of your life. They're just tools to help you grow up. And that's the way you should approach them.
Right. Yeah. I think it's fascinating because, you know, what happens and how we do get too involved. But it is the tool to assist in some people if they're really not getting it in this life. I always think that, you know, everything you're supposed to learn will have occurred, something will have occurred in this life, but sometimes it, you know, sometimes I agree, sometimes it's just not enough material to understand what the fear is, so it can be of assistance.
Well, you know, everything you need is right in front
right.
of you know, that's the thing. It's not like, well, you know, I live this boring life and there is no opportunity and so on. That's nonsense. Everything you need is right in front of your nose. It's all there. You just have to recognize it and grasp the opportunity to grow from it. And you don't ever really need to go look at a past life. Sometimes, some people in some situations, they find that helpful. Mm-hmm. But it's not that that was necessary and they couldn't have gotten there without it. Kind of an easy way to go for them. maybe it just justifies something. You know, maybe they are a certain way. They're terrified of bumblebees or something, and they just can't explain that, but it's just the way they are, and they feel really bad about it because it makes it terrible. They can't go out in the summertime, you know, and that sort of thing. And to tell them, oh, that's because, you know, you were stung by 6,000 bumblebees, da 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 da, and now they have a reason. So just because they have a reason, they can say, oh, good, it's just that I'm not a goofball and crazy. You know, I have a reason. Therefore, they start to accept it. And once they accept it, then they can start dealing with the fear. Until they accept it, they can't. So it can sometimes just serve that purpose, you know, where it's just another tool that the system can use to help you. And you may have never actually really been stung by 1,000 bumblebees or whatever, but it makes a good excuse.
Right.
And if that's what you need, then that can heal you, you see. Just that knowledge that I'm not crazy. I have a reason to be this way. All right, now that I know the reason, I can get over it, you see. So it may be a step in your healing. So we shouldn't throw it all out, and you can do some neat what-if analysis, but it's not really a, you know, it's not really a big thing. All the action is in the present. It's you being in the present, making choices. And you make thousands of choices a day, whether you know it or not. And whether you make those with love and caring, and it's about other, and you know, these are choices that help you evolve, or it's about fear, it's about ego, it's, well, what about me, and I need to manipulate the world to be the way they want it, the way I want it. If it's that sort of thing, then you don't grow the quality of your consciousness. You just stew in your own juice and are generally not a very happy camper.
Let's talk about that when we come back from break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul Friends. We have Thomas Campbell with us. Check him out. I can never say enough, and I'm loving this show. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
You are not alone. There are angels that help guide your life in time of need. Contact your angel by joining Laura Lee's Spirit Salon every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Acclaimed medium Laura Lee will contact your dearly departed spirit guides and your angel too to help you find closure, guidance, or insight regarding matters of the heart. As seen on Fox, NBC, TLC, PBS, and the Discovery Channel, medium Laura Lee has the ability to tap into heaven's realms and peer into your life, relationships, financial, health, and or career concerns. Learn how to raise some heaven in your life by joining Laura Lee's Spirit Salon on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Each week, you'll learn valuable tips to help your spirit soar high and to make that connection to your inner guidance. Hear inspirational stories from listeners who have personally experienced heavenly miracles. And most importantly, chat with medium Laura Lee to contact the other side. Come raise some heaven with Laura Lee's Spirit Salon, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern on New Sky Radio. The Sky.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Laurie Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Laurie is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of Quantum Change. She's developed and teaches the Inner Speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's newskyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD at AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Laura Houston. Call Laurie now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We've been talking with Thomas Campbell. We will re-air this show on the date that he's supposed to be on, which is on the 29th. But because it's your holiday, we had to book it earlier. Yes, let's continue this week. But let's discuss how you kind of know all of this information, because I know that you described it funnier than I'm going to say, but I know you do. You're not a raving lunatic, and I don't think anybody would think that, but
Yeah, well, you could come to that conclusion if you didn't understand, you know, where I'm coming from. But basically, you know, I sound like I have a lot of confidence in the things that I say. I say, this is the way it is, you know, and I say it like, you know, there's no question about it. And people should wonder, well, you know, how does he know that? These are things that, you know, nobody really knows, right? These are things that aren't part of this physical reality and so on. Well, I am very confident about what I say, and the reason for my confidence is that these things we're just talking about are part of a larger theory. They're part of an overarching theory of everything. That's the big toe. And the logic, all of this is a logic-driven theory. It's not like, you know, here's what I think happened, you know, and here's the way I think it worked. It all starts with some basic, two basic assumptions of consciousness exists and evolution exists. And from there, it's all logically derived. And this derivation of this larger consciousness system and the virtual reality and all of this ends up also deriving good physics. So it solves some of the basic physics problems that physicists right now don't understand. It solves the physics mysteries that are kind of standing today. So because it does that, and it makes clear logical explanations for them, and it explains data of experiments that are now, how, you know, how does that happen? Why do we get that? You know, how is it that we can, you know, do the, you know, get this results and this data? And it explains all that. So I have confidence in the theory because it actually does predict the correct result of experimental work, and it does that consistently. And it also lets you understand things in metaphysics and philosophy and theology, and all those things tend to make sense in the light of this theory. And what we've just been talking about with the past lives, the databases, all that fits in as an integral part of that theory. So if the upfront part of the theory were wrong, then it wouldn't likely be able to derive correct results at the endpoints where the logic, you know, gets to a conclusion. So that's why I have confidence in it, and really no other reason. Is that theory complete? No, not necessarily. You know, it's a live thing. You know, I'm learning, you know, new things all the time. But so far, I haven't found anything that punches a hole in it that it doesn't explain. So that's why. That's why perhaps, just perhaps, I'm not a raving lunatic, and that the things we're talking about actually do work that way and do make sense. So we were talking about, you know, the past life thing. It's a nice tool, but it's not really something you should overuse, and you've got everything you need right in front of you now, today. You just have to realize it and, you know, take hold of the opportunities that you have, all the choices you have. The choices of being is what I'm talking about, not necessarily the choice of which car should I buy. That's not an important choice.
Not the choices of doing.
Yeah, not the choices of doing. It's the choices of being. How should I be? How should I react? How should I interact? What are my connections, and how do I improve those connections, those relationships, and so on? These are the choices that I'm talking about, you know, and it's, you relate to your coworkers, you relate to your boss, you relate to your spouse, your children, you know, the neighbors, you relate to all sorts of people and things and situations, and you react to those things. And the quality of that interaction is where are the choices that I'm talking about. And most of us humans interact because of our fear, and because that fear leads to ego, beliefs, expectations, wants, needs, desires, all that stuff falls out of the fear, and that drives our reactions and interactions in everything we do. And the hard, you know, it's hard enough if you know what these fears are to let go of them. That's a difficult thing, but most of us are not even to that step yet. Most of us don't even know what these fears are because we've been carrying them around for as long as we can remember, and they're just a part of us. They don't stand out as a fear. They stand out as knowledge of just the way it is the way we look at it. We don't see that it's a fear. So that's really the point. And if past lives can be a help in dealing with those, then use it. But don't get tangled up in it. It's not necessary. It's only an available tool that may or may not be an effective tool for you.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking that next show we'll talk about how we can use and play with those other tools, because I think the bit you talked about while explaining why past lives are even there is kind of cool. I mean, we do have access to these tools that can assist us. It's just, again, not getting caught up in the tool or the get distracted by the details, but to really just to really focus on growing up.
That's the point. Focus on what's important. You know, I keep bringing this up almost every time we talk. I say, you know, this is life, people. You know, stuff happens and you get to deal with it. And the quality with which you deal with it is what matters. Everything else doesn't matter so much. So you focus on how you deal with it. And another way of saying that is you focus in the moment. You focus in the now. Now is where the free will is exercised, in the now, in the present. And that's where you ought to be focused, because that's where what you're doing is really important. The stuff that happens on the front end, yeah, we need to pay a little bit of attention to that, but not much. We need to be very accepting of that and not controlling of it. Let that go. Let those people be as they are, whoever they are. You just make sure that you interact and make good choices.
Yeah. Well, Tom, as always, excellent show. Always enjoy having you. People, check out his site, mybigtoe.com with hyphens in between. There's a forum you can join. There's the YouTube station, which has like over 100 videos.
Over 200 videos.
200, holy.
Yeah, it's like 210 or 220
right
now.
Yeah. See, there you go. Hours and hours and hours of footage that you can just enjoy to your heart's content. We will be back next month on the 20th, because of holidays. So looking forward to it again. You've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.